I'm one of the pastors here, and it is my privilege this morning to get to share the word with you. If you have your Bibles or you got one of those bulletins on your way, and you can pull out your note sheets and follow along. You can also follow along in our in the YouVersion Bible app. We've got all of our notes in there with the scriptures from this morning. And as many of you guys actually probably don't know, last week we actually, for the very first time, broadcast our service onto Facebook. So those of you who may be joining us on Facebook, hi, welcome. You're on the beach. You're watching from your seat. Awesome. Okay. Well, it's a great way if you're out of town or you're on vacation to be able to check in and see what God's doing and listen to the message and join in worship. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to have you turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 6, but Acts chapter 1 is where we're going to start. And, you know, as you're turning there in your Bibles or your Bible apps, I heard a story recently about a man who was trapped on the roof of his house. It was floodwaters were rising, and he was trapped. And the water was coming up, and he was praying. He was saying, God, please help me. And all of a sudden, a man came by on a little paddle boat, and he had like a canoe. And he came by and said, hey, you look like you're stuck. Why don't you get in the boat, and I'll save you. Come on, let's come with me. And he said, no. God will save me. So then a little bit longer went by, and now the water was actually up to his knees. And man, he was really desperate. He's talking to God. And another man comes by, this guy in a motorboat. I mean, this is a big boat. There's a lot of water now. And the guy says, hey, come on in, pal. Come with me. I'll save you. And he says, no. God will save me. I don't need your help. And so he stays there, and he's up to his knees. Now, a little bit later, he's up to his neck. I mean, he's just barely standing on his roof. And a helicopter flies by with a rescue basket swinging below it. And over the loudspeaker, the copter pilot says, hey, hop in the basket and I'll pull you up to safety. And he says, no, God will save me. So you can imagine what happened. The waters kept rising and he actually drowned. And he stood before God and he said, God, what on earth is going on? I prayed to you. I asked you for help. And of course, God looked at him and said, what do you want? I sent you two boats and a helicopter. Sometimes help is closer than it seems. And sometimes God would have us get in our boats and go out into the floodwaters of life to men and women who are up to their neck or over their head in deep water to be those rescuers. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The title of my message this morning is God Loves Them. Even them. Whoever them are to you, God loves even them. See, I think sometimes we have no problem loving people that are close to us, our family members, our friends, people that are similar to us. But I want you to think for just a moment for someone that maybe you cringe a little bit when you think of their name, right? When you see them walk in the room, it's like, ooh, I want to go the other direction. You guys have anyone like that? You guys are super holy. You guys don't have anyone like that. But we all have people that just kind of rub us the wrong way. People maybe that have said hurtful things to us or coworkers or friends or neighbors that just haven't been real nice to us. And we all have those people. I want to encourage you that as we think about those people, that we would put those three simple words in our head. God loves them. Even them. Add those two words to it. Even them. So this morning, we're going to dig into Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6, where Jesus is kind of setting up the stage. And this is what Acts 1, 6 through 11 says. It says this. So when they, the disciples, had come together, they asked him, Jesus, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. Say the word power. You guys over here said it good. You guys over here, I'm not sure you're awake. Say power.
Power.
There you go. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Can you say witnesses?
Witnesses.
There you go. You guys sound good. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Imagine that. You're standing there talking to Jesus. All of a sudden, whew, he flies up into the cloud. I mean, this is like ending of Matrix kind of stuff. Pretty cool. He flew up out of their sight, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Here's the big idea this morning. See, there's a scripture that talks about the very end day that Jesus walked on the earth. And this is the big idea that I want us to take away from this, that God loves the world. And God loves the world enough to send you. Some of us need to get into our boat and go out into the world and find men and women standing on the rooftops. Some of us need to go into our world and share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But God loves the world enough to have sent you. See, the Bible declares that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus into the world. And Jesus continued that on his last day on earth before he ascended to the Father. He said, I'm sending you. See, God so loved the world that he sent you and me to the world. See, God has a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives. Now, some of us don't always realize that, but we were made to know God's love. We were designed for an intimate and abiding and close relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. And God wants us to not only know him, but to make his love known to the world that we live in, to share the love of Jesus, to show the love of Jesus in tangible ways. See, the human soul was made for that relationship with God. And this morning, we're going to look at something that's called the Great Commission, this commission that Jesus said that we are to go and be his witnesses, that we're to pass it on. See, where we have heard about the hope of Jesus Christ, where Jesus has changed our lives and given us hope for our present, given us hope for our future, given us forgiveness for our past, Jesus says, I want you to go and share that hope with the world. I want you to do the same. See, we all need to be reminded of something this morning. I don't know where you are or what you came, what sort of baggage you brought through the front door this morning, but some of us need to receive God's love. We need to be reminded that God loves us. Some of you maybe for the first time need to be reminded that there's a God in heaven who loves you. He cares about you. But all the rest of us need to also be reminded that God's power is available to us, and we need to receive God's power so that we can share the love of Jesus, so that we can be a light in a dark place, a man on a boat in a flood, that we can do just that. Not that we have the power to save. Only God can do that. But we're going to talk about the great mission of God. See, some of us have a wrong view of God. We feel like, man, God asked me to do things that are way too big. They're impossible for me to do. I couldn't possibly do anything for God. And while some of the things that God asks us to do are beyond our comfort, God wants to give us his power. And that's what Jesus said before he sent his disciples. He said, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, which will give you power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he says. So I want to talk about what that looks like. See, because God loves the world enough to send you, but what does that look like? How do we do that, right? I mean, we can't just get in our paddle boat. There's no flood waters physically in our world. So what does that look like? I want to give you a couple of ideas. How do we make God's love known to the world? The first thing we've got to do is we've got to believe that God loves the world. I know it sounds simple. I know it sounds overwhelming, but that's why I wanted us to remember it, because sometimes we don't want God to love them. We don't want God to love that guy that just was mean to me, that guy who just said that mean thing on Facebook about me, or that guy that just cut me off on the free. I don't think God loves that guy. But sometimes we need to be reminded that God loves the world. See, we're comfortable being around people just like us, aren't we? People that talk like us, people that have the same background as us, people that have the same hobbies as us. We love being around people that are like us because it shows us how good we are. That person's awesome. They're just like me, right? We love to be around those kind of people. And though we might demonstrate tolerance, that's a word that our world likes to use a lot, isn't it? Everyone wants us to be tolerant. But let me just say something. Love is much greater than tolerance. Love is far beyond and exceeding intolerance. But see, as God's people, we're not called just to tolerate the world. We're called to love the world. And that's a whole different degree. See, we're not called just to tolerate them. I'm just going to tolerate this fly that's buzzing around my head, because that's what we think about some people. But we're called to love people. See, it's not enough to tolerate people. We've got to love them. See, our world loves to call Christians in particular. We love to set double standards for Christians. You need to tolerate people. And what they're saying is we need to condone their behavior and actions. And while God's people, we have to look to God's word and say, God, I'm going to allow you to define what's right and what's wrong in my life and in the way I live my life. Because I believe that as the creator of life, you have some unique insight. You kind of know how this thing works. So God, while I'm going to base my standard on your word, I'm also going to love people the way that you love people. See, here's the truth, my friend. God didn't love you because you had your stuff together. He doesn't love you now because you're perfect. Surprise! See, God's love for us is not based on what we do for him. His love for us is based on the worth that he said we are worth. See, some of us are like, well, I don't understand how God could love us in the brokenness of our stuff, but the Bible says that God does love us. God so loved the world that he sent his son, and God so loves the world that he sends us to demonstrate and to show that love. See, we're not called to tolerate the people of the world. We're called to love them. And that's something altogether different. See, God's love for us doesn't wait for us to have our stuff together. God loves us first. The Bible says we know what love looks like because he loved us first. We love because he loved us. So some of us have to believe that. We might believe it intellectually, but when it comes to that annoying person that we pictured a few minutes ago, we don't believe it deeply. You know what I'm saying? I believe God loves the world, but I'm not so sure he loves that guy, right? I'm not so sure that guy who just cut me off or said that mean thing or whatever it is, I'm not so sure that God loves them. Let me just tell you, that sort of love doesn't come automatically. It only comes from the power of God at work in us. It only comes when we will receive his love. And the first thing is this, we can't give away love if we've not first received it. See, I can never take people where I haven't been. I can never give God's love away if I haven't been changed by it, if I haven't been moved by it, if I haven't been transformed by it. See, change begins at home. It begins in my own life. God wants to transform our lives. He wants to change us with his love. See, the longer I walk with Jesus, the more that I realize that this is true. Anyone who's walked with Jesus for any length of time will tell you, man, when I came to faith, when I realized that there was a God who loved me, a God who accepted me as I was but wanted to transform me by the power of his spirit, man, it set something in fire inside of me. You know what I mean? I got passionate. But the more I walk with Jesus, the more I understand the depth of my own depravity, the more I understand, man, how deep that root goes of sin in my own heart. And the more I understand the height of his love, and it does something in me. It enlarges my view and my perspective of God's righteousness when I understand, man, just how much I mess up and blow it and how big his love is that covers that gap. See, it changes me. And the more that I walk with Jesus, the more I understand my need for grace. See, but I've got to first know God's love if I'm going to share it. The second thing is that I've got to ask God for help. You know what I'm saying? I got to ask God for help. See, I got to believe that God loves the world, and sometimes I'm going to need help. There's certain people that I need a lot of help with. Maybe you do too. But we've got to ask God for help. It's not you, don't worry. Unless you're driving on the freeway on the 118, then maybe it's you. No, I'm just kidding. See, but God gives us his love. And God says in this passage, he wants to give us his power. See, Jesus says, I want to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says that in context of loving our world, of being witnesses to the people that are all around us, of sharing of the faith that we have. See, the reality is that we've got a generous father. Some of us didn't have generous fathers. They just weren't. They were tight. They were mean. They were abusive. They did things that were not in line with God and his word and his ways. But we have a generous father. Luke 11:11 says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? What kind of dad would give his son a snake instead of something good to eat? Like, dad, I want something to eat. Here's a snake. It's going to bite you. No, I don't think so. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. Now, truth be told, I've given my boys a scorpion, but it was covered in chocolate, and it was good. Anyways, that's another story for another time. But if you then who are evil, say evil. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. See, we have a Father in heaven that wants to give us gifts. He wants to give us the gift of his Holy Spirit. And some of us have this view of God. Maybe we had a messed up father. Maybe we have just a messed up view of who God is and what he's like. Then, man, I'm going to ask God for his Spirit, and he's going to give me a snake instead. I don't know why we would think that, but some of us have this messed up view of God, that he's out to play a game with us, that he's playing hide and seek, and every time we find him, he's going to run away. But that's not the kind of Father we serve. He says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, if we who are evil parents have evil and depraved hearts and brokenness of sin, know how to love our children, God says, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who is not like that at all, how much more will he give good gifts to his children? And that's you and me, friend. We are the sons and daughters of God. We're the family of God. And he wants to give us his good gifts. See, as many of you know, I got four boys. And what I love about children is, man, they teach you so much about life. They teach you so much about my relationship with my Heavenly Father. You know, in particular, my two-year-old, Eli. Man, that kid, he doesn't have any shame at all. He'll just ask for whatever he wants, whenever he wants it, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. And his thing all the time, he loves chocolate milk. That was like one of his first words. I mean, it was dad, it was mom, it was chocolate milk. Like, that was it. Like, he just, that's like his key word. And it doesn't matter what time of night it is. Even last night, you know, he's supposed to be bed, and he took a long nap, so he's screwing around in his room. That's what boys do, I guess. But he comes out, like, you know, chocolate milk, please. Closes the door. And like, he said please, so I got him some chocolate milk. Because he likes chocolate milk when he goes to bed. I don't know why. I don't know why we gave into this, but it's okay for him. It's got vitamins in it. It's good for him. Okay, whatever. Chocolate milk. And so we get him chocolate milk because he asked his father. And he didn't say, hey, dad, go serve me. He said, daddy, chocolate milk, please. He only has to say those three. Chocolate milk, please. And he gets it. And he understands that. But see, a child, he's not ashamed to do that. See, me, if I was staying in someone else's house and I opened up the door, chocolate milk, please, I'd feel really awkward. I wouldn't expect to get it. You know what I mean? But he knew his father was standing outside the door, and his father loves him. Even as messed up and as evil as I am, I still love him. I'm not going to go in his room and say, here's a snake. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give him chocolate milk. See, and we have a Heavenly Father that loves the world and loves us. See, God loved the world enough to send you. So how do we make his love known? The second thing, if you're taking notes, is that we have to be a witness of God's work in our own lives. Be a witness of God's work in your life. See, Jesus gives us, I'm going to break out the $5 word. He gives us a three-part missiological framework for how we can change our world. See, God shows us how he wants us to change our world. He gives us the blueprint for doing that. He says, if we're going to share the good news of Jesus, we've got to start right where we are. And he says, to be a witness of God's power and his love and his grace, we've got to start here, then we've got to go near, and then we've got to go far. And I want to talk about what that looks like. See, he says in Acts 1:8, and you will receive power. Say power.
Power.
Woo! You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. See, we aren't that familiar with the geography of Israel. I don't know why. Perhaps because we don't go there all the time. But see, what Jesus was saying to them as they stood in Jerusalem, as they stood in the center of the most prominent city in the area, he was saying to them, in essence, I want you to start right here. I want you to be my witnesses right here where I planted you. And then I want you to go to Samaria. I want you to go a little bit further to Judea and Samaria, to those closer regions, those nearby places. And then finally he says, I want you to go to the end of the earth. See, Jesus was giving us and them a framework for how we should see the mission of God, this thing that he's called us to, the thing that he's sent us on. He's showing us how we should think about our world. And it begins with, we've got to be a good witness at home. Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
We got to be a good witness right here where God has planted us, wherever our home base is. And that might be your literal home, but it also is those places where you are at. Those places that he's planted you and rooted you and put you down deeply. See, God wants us to be good witnesses at home. Some of us just think of our salvation as the moment that then God changes us, but walking with Jesus is meant to change us day by day. That's why Jesus, when he talked to his followers, he didn't just say, pray this prayer. He said, come follow me. Come walk with me. And that's what it is to follow Jesus. It's something that changes us day by day. 1 John 2:5 says this. It says, by this we know that we are in him, in Christ. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. See, there's this idea that we've got to keep moving forward in our faith. God wants to change us day by day. He accepts us and loves us where we are, but he loves us enough to want to change us because of our brokenness. See, and this says the way we do that is to walk with him. Mother Teresa is often quoted as saying, if you want to change the world, go home. Love your family. That's a good quote. And I believe that Jesus was in essence saying the same thing. He's saying, if you want to be witnesses to the ends of the earth, start here in Jerusalem. Start here where you've been planted. Start at home. If we want to change the world, first of all, ask God for his help. Ask him for his power. But then start at home. Change the culture of your home. See, the world does not need perfect Christians because, let me tell you a secret, they don't exist. He's already with the Father, that perfect Christian. Jesus, he's already ascended to the Father, and the world is just left with the rest of us, and we don't need to pretend like we've got it all together. What the world needs to see, what our children need to see, what our families need to see, what our church needs to be, is not a perfect people, but a people that are changed by grace. A people that are becoming more like Jesus Christ every single day as we walk with him, as we understand the depths of God's love for us and the height of his grace towards us who believe. See, we should look more like Jesus today than we did yesterday. That's my prayer for myself every day. God, would you make me more like your son Jesus today than I was yesterday? See, some of us will never change our world because we haven't started where we live. We haven't asked God to change the way we deal with our families and the way that we parent, the way that we husband or wife, the way that we interact with people that are right next to us, our next door neighbors. Uh-oh. Some of us haven't asked God to change those things. So Jesus says, I want you to be a good witness here, but we also have to be a good witness in the places that we visit. I need to be a good witness in the places that I visit, those near places. If I were to draw a circle around your house, there'd be a larger circle I could draw, a concentric circle that would include those near places, those places that we frequent. Maybe it's a supermarket. Maybe it's the Taekwondo studio. Maybe it's a soccer field. Maybe it's the coffee shop that you go get your morning cup of inspiration. Wherever it is, those places that we go to, that we travel to and from, those I'm going to call our Judea and our Samaria. Those are our nearby places, those places that we visit. God says, I want you to be a witness there. I want you to be a witness there. Some of you, that's going to change the way you go grocery shopping. Some of you, that's going to change the way you go order a cup of coffee. Instead of being, I don't have my coffee yet, give me my coffee, I'm going to slow down and talk with people, look people in the face instead of looking down at my phone. Maybe I'm going to look at people and talk to people. And instead of going to a bunch of different places, maybe I'm going to go to one place and start talking with that barista or start talking with that same checker every time I go or whatever it is. See, God wants us to be a good witness at the places that we visit. And what that looks like is just having a gospel intentionality in the places we go. See, we do everyday things every day, right? That's what we call them, everyday things. We just go through those regular rhythms of life. And said, God has given us his Holy Spirit. He's empowered us with his Spirit that we might be his witnesses in our Judea and Samaria places. And when we go to the grocery store, we don't just go to a store. We go with the power of God. Think about that. I'm not just going to the grocery store. I'm going with, thus saith the Lord, I shall go to the grocery store. No, you don't got to be over spiritual. But when we go to the grocery store, when we have God's Spirit indwelling within us, we go in the power of God. See, the mission field is not somewhere out there. Sometimes the mission field is Albertsons. Sometimes my mission field is Stater Brothers, maybe. I was going to say Vons, but man, all my Vons close. There's one on the other side of town. See, we need to go and look at our world as those things. But some of you would say, but that's not a missions trip. Pastor, a missions trip is when you get your passport stamped and you go to a foreign country and you got to drink bad water and eat weird food. And you go and you're in Africa or you're in Mexico or you're in some foreign country. That's a missions trip, Pastor. And I say, yeah, that is. But sometimes going to the grocery store can be just the same if we will go with the same mindset. See, the difference between going to, you know, South America to build a house and going to my grocery store to start a conversation. I go with the same power. The same God is with me here as he is down there. We should go internationally, but sometimes we need to think of our trip to the grocery store as a missions trip. See, God can make a trip to the grocery store the most spiritual part of your week. Some of you are like, what? But he can. See, if we allow God to fill us with his spirit, to show us those men and women standing on the rooftops waiting for a boat to come by, because they're all around us. People that are up to their neck in debt or in stress or in depression or other life circumstances. They feel like they're on the top of the roof just waiting for someone to come by. They're crying out to God, and here you come into the grocery store. Hi, how you doing? See, the thing about it is, so very often when we come to this place, when we come to church, we think, I expect God to show up there. I'm coming to church with an expectancy that God is going to be there, that he's going to speak to me, that he's going to fill me up, that he's going to encourage me. But when we go to the grocery store, we don't have that same anticipation. And my question is why? Because he's there. God is in the grocery store. He's in those places we go to. And God wants to take those ordinary situations of our life and turn them into extraordinary testimonies, extraordinary stories of what he is able to do just by us being available to him. See, what would happen if in our workplaces and our places where we go to hobby, the places that we go to the sports field or to recreate or to socialize or those places that we go, what would happen if we would go with a gospel intention and not a crazy over-spiritualized prayer, but just say, God, would you show me anyone you want me to talk to? Would you allow me to be a good witness to you? Sometimes the best witness is just the way and the attitude that I have as a follower of Jesus, not being that jerk at the coffee shop, not being that jerk in the restaurant that I've seen. You know, I'm going to go out to church. After church, I'm going to go out to lunch, and they know the church crowd's coming. How am I going to treat my server? Sometimes being a witness is more than what we say. It's how we act. It's how we respond. And so before we go out to those places saying, God, would you fill me with your spirit? God, would you make me a good witness where I go? Help me to do that. See, what sort of things would God be able to do if we saw those ordinary places as opportunities for God to do extraordinary, supernatural works in our midst? So I've got to be a good witness in the places that I visit, in those near places. And then finally, we've got to go beyond our comfort zone. We've got to go to those far places as well. See, Jesus calls us to the ends of the earth, and that's a long way, especially since the earth is round. It's a long ways. He says to go to the end of the earth. You know, our brothers from Hawaii, they pointed this out when we were there at convention. Said, you know, from Jerusalem, the furthest part away from there on the earth is Hawaii. He said, so I think that's where we're supposed to go, to the ends of the earth. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's go on our missions trip, Lord. See, but we often hear John 3:16. We've heard it. We might believe it intellectually that God so loved the world. But when it comes to thinking about the world, sometimes we're just thinking about ourselves. And what Jesus was getting at, he's wanting us to have a greater vision for his love. That his love doesn't just extend to people that are just like me, that are from my town, that are from my region, that are into my sports, that like my sports team. Certainly not in this area. Sorry, Joe. But God's love is bigger than that. It's bigger than my sports team. It's bigger than my region. It's bigger than where I went to school or my background or my ethnicity or the language that I speak. And Jesus wanted to give us a vision that was beyond that. It's one of the reasons I love being part of the Foursquare Church family, that we believe that God loves the world. That's why we've got missionaries on every continent of this planet. And why we're raising up indigenous leaders to take the gospel, because there is something to be said about people who speak the language and know the culture and have the same cultural story. Because we can communicate with our neighbors much easier than I can communicate with someone from a foreign culture. But Jesus is saying, I want you to have a vision that reaches beyond your own self. That's why we've got to think about sharing the good news to the ends of the earth. See, our job is not finished until every single man, woman, and child has heard the good news of Jesus. See, that's part of our missionary call, that God loves the world. Even them, whoever they are to us. And God loved this world enough to send his son Jesus, and God loves the world enough to send us. And so it's our role to take up that charge. See, our job as followers of Jesus is not to be comfortable. It's not to be prosperous just for prosperity's sake. It's not to do any of those things. Our job, as Jesus declared, is to be his witnesses. To not only know God's love, but to make his love known to the world. To share it. To show it, not just talk about it, but demonstrate his love. Demonstrate that we are more than just a tolerant people. We are a loving people. That means we embrace people that are different than us, the smelly, the people that look different, the people that act different, that we love them all. See, God loves the world enough to send you. But we've got to believe. We've got to believe not just from a place of intellect, but a place deep within our heart. That God loves the world. He really does. See, some of us, that's an act of faith, moment by moment. Certain people in particular, they need extra grace. And we've got to remind ourselves that, man, God loves the world. And the way we do that is by receiving it. We've got to receive his love. Some of you need a touch from God. Maybe you knew Jesus, but somewhere along the way, you've lost that. God says, I want you to experience my love. I want you to taste and see that I'm a good God. So we've got to receive his love, and we've got to ask God's help. Some of us need to do that in different areas, in different relationships and circumstances. We need to say, God, would you give me a new measure of love for that person? Would you give me a new measure of love for that group of people, maybe that those neighbors or those coworkers or those people that are against me, maybe the people that like that sports team that I hate? Dodger fans, the Giants fans. God, would you give me a new measure of grace for those people that are different than I am? Because God wants us to be his witnesses. We got to start at home. We got to ask God's help. Lord, would you help me to be a better father? Help me to be a better mother? Help me to be a better spouse, a better friend, a better son or daughter? God, would you help me to demonstrate and be a witness, not just with my words, but with my behavior, with my action, with my love. Because God wants us to be his witnesses here, near, and far. I don't know about you, but I can't do that on my own strength. That's why Jesus gave us the promise. He said, I want to fill you with the Spirit that you might go in the power of God. You don't have to go to the grocery store in your own power. You go in the power of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I want to close our time in prayer in response to the Lord. See, as we conclude.